I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever met a shepherd or even know anybody who basically knows a shepherd. Maybe you do, being out here in the rural county. But yet, you know, sometimes, you know, I feel that through the image of Christ as a good shepherd, you know, I feel sort of accustomed to that saying. And you know, as we look at the history of the Jewish people, a shepherd was a very important role. And so by Jesus using this image, he was using something that was very familiar with, very well known to the people, to the Jewish people that he was speaking to. Abraham, our father in faith, was a shepherd. His father was a shepherd. His sons were shepherds. Moses, before he was called to lead the people out of the promised land, was tending the sheep for his father, Jethro, his father-in-law, Jethro. And Samuel, when he went to select the next king after Saul, he went to the house of Jesse, and he looked at all the sons. He said, "Is this Saul?" He says, "No, there's still one more, David. And he is out tending the sheep." And so we come to see that being a shepherd was a very familiar position and a very familiar role to the people of Israel. And so Jesus, using this, said very much a lot about his role and what he had to offer the Jewish people. The thing is, being a shepherd is not a very easy job. A lot of times it means being out in the fields for weeks on time, being away from home. Sometimes it means gathering with other shepherds. Because, you know, the thing is, we hear also that Jesus is the gate, and we talk about the sheepfold. And the thing is that when you were tending sheep, that if you were tending with a lot of other shepherds, that as night came, you would gather your sheep into a pen, a sheep gate, a sheep goat, a sheepfold, excuse me. And then you would close the gate. And then you would have one of the shepherds would basically stand guard during the night. And then, you know, the sheep, and then in the morning, the shepherds would come and they would open the gate and they would go in and they would call the sheep by name and the sheep would recognize the voice and they would lead them as they went out into the fields to graze and to eat. Each of the sheep following their own shepherd. But yet many times, you know, that when, you know, you were sort of by yourself, which often happened many times, the shepherd would go out and he would find a place where there would be a cropping of rocks. And he would sort of herd his sheep into there, and there would be an opening, sort of the gate. But the gate wasn't, you know, sort of a physical gate. It wasn't iron, it wasn't steel, but it was rather just an opening, maybe like 5 or 6 feet. And the thing is as the night fell and it got dark, that the shepherd would lay his mat down and would sleep in the gate. And this sort of did two things. First of all, the sheep, you know, because, you know, would not be able to go out because they'd have to walk over the shepherd. But secondly, it would also keep, you know, the predators, the wolves, the lions, and anything that would come to sheep, you know, that they couldn't get in without having to going over the shepherd. And the shepherd would be there to scare them away and to protect his sheep. And the sheep felt very safe when they were inside that sheepfold, protected by the shepherd. And that's what sort of Jesus is offering us. He's saying, you know, that I am your shepherd. Come and follow me. hear my voice, and I will keep you safe and protected from the evils of the world, from all that prey upon you. And even those sometimes who come in my name, the thieves and the robbers, who try to climb over the wall rather than going in through the sheep gate and try to lead you astray. And that's sort of, you know, the question that we sort of ask ourselves today. Who do we follow? Who is our shepherd? Is it Jesus? When I was in the seminary, one of the few things I remember, but I did remember something, was a psychology course, and it said basically that what we choose is that we never choose evil. We never choose wrong. We always choose good. That everything we choose what is good. However, the good that we choose may not necessarily in itself be good. If I choose to rob you, it may be good in the sense of, you know, I need the money, maybe to buy drugs or to buy food. But for you, it means is that, you know, you're going to lose something. So it's not good for you. As a matter of fact, it's against the law. If I kill you, it may be good for me because you're a problem and a pain and I want to be rid of you. But of course, for you, you lose your life. So it's not too good for you. I remember, you know, growing up, that there used to be a comedian called Flip Wilson. Anybody remember Flip Wilson? He was a black comedian. And he had this skit where he would do, and as he was sitting there, he would be, you know, thinking about a choice he had to make. And on his right side, there would appear, you know, Flip, sort of like an angel costume. And of course, it always had to be on the right side because that was God's side. And then on the left side, would appear Flip dressed in sort of a devil's costume. And as he was sitting there, of course, the angel was telling him why he should or should not do this, and the devil was saying why he should or should not do this. And basically what they're saying is that the devil would say is that, yeah, this is good, and would tell him why this is good for you to do. And of course the angel was saying, no, this is not good. Yeah, it's good to do something else. And sometimes, you know, I wish it was so sort of easy like that. That, you know, we could sit there and very easily see what is good and what is not good. That we had, you know, the angel on one side and the devil on the other side, and we could see and hear and listen to them. But yet, you know, the thing is that many times the world offers us goods which really aren't so good. They're really harmful or painful. And yet, you know, for us at the time, you know, that they seem so good. As a member of Compassionate Friends, of parents who have lost children, you know, we hear about, you know, those children who committed suicide. And yet, you know, that somehow, you know, that they made a choice for something at that time which seemed so good to them, which yet we knew was so painful and harmful to so many else. Over the children, over the parents who have lost children through overdoses of drugs, where they choose a drug for some sort of good, whether it's to get high, whether it's to escape, or for whatever reason. But this is a good that they select and they choose, that they listen to and follow. And because of that, you know, they lose their life. As Christians, we are called to sit there and to listen. And to listen to what Jesus proclaims to us that is good and what is right. And to follow him. Knowing that, you know, if we do that, that we will be protected. We will be at peace. That God will lead us to goodness and to happiness. But yet there are so many others in the world, many of them who even use the name of God to sit there and tell us, you know, what is good, which really may not be good, which really may even be evil or wrong. And sometimes it's very hard to discern what is the goodness that the shepherd wants us to follow. What is the way that Jesus wants to lead us? And so we look at our lives, and we look at how we are being led by Jesus, how we are following. And I guess the rule of thumb we ask ourselves on these decisions which we're discerning, you know, what good should I follow, is what would Jesus say about it? Would Jesus say that this is good? That this is what I want? This is how to follow me? Does this follow my law of love? Does this decision help me to love God above all things and to love my neighbor as myself? Truly, as we sit there and we make our decisions to choose right, that if we choose the law of love, we truly walk in the way of Jesus. He is our shepherd, and we follow in his ways. If I were to look at the decision and we sit there and we wonder, would Jesus really go along with this? Would he go along with, you know, maybe harming other people, with casting them aside, with hurting another person? As Peter tells us in the second reading, that when Jesus was mocked and ridiculed, he did not lash out. He did not sit there and attack, but he meekly accepted it and forgave in his heart. And so this week, let's look at our actions. Look at who we follow. And pray for the grace of God that we truly may really walk in the way of the Good Shepherd. That we may be his sheep, to follow him, pastures, to a place of repose, to a place of peace and everlasting love, even in the midst of trial and tribulation. And know that whatever strife and difficulty comes, that he is there to protect us with his rod and his staff as the Good Shepherd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.